Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hello. Hello.
Back now to more of the John Chuckery Show.
Okay.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Want to leave us a comment? Hit us up there. We ask you to download the radio.com app because, well, we know you're not in your vehicle as much as what you used to be, but if you want to listen to this radio station and this particular show, how do I do it? Simple, radio.com app. Put that on your device today. Take that smartphone, those Alexa speakers, that tablet, that boombox, your Laserdisc, your Commodore 64, your Nikon camera. I don't know what your device is. Just download it onto something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on other platforms there. As always, the best way to be a part of the show, hit me up on my personal Twitter handle. That would be at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. We've got Dylan hanging out with us this week as Jarvis is off for the holiday week. I'll be off the next couple of days and be back with you on Friday evening as we get ready for the weekend. Supposed to be rivalry weekend in college football, right? But not really quite that way this year, right? Unfortunately, with the pandemic and everything, it's just kind of put a damper on all of that. But still college football action going on this weekend. So we'll have college football game time coming up on Saturday to get you ready for all of that. Well, we were talking about the Atlanta Falcons in the last segment about Julio Jones and his contract. The Atlanta Hawks obviously have made a bunch of moves, and still one move that is out there that we're waiting on. They signed to an offer sheet Bogdanovich, waiting on the Kings, I should say, to decide if they're going to match the offer or if they're going to just allow the Hawks to sign him. Now, I believe, and based on what I read, that they have about another 4 hours, not quite 3 hours and 57 minutes. Somewhere around there. I think they have to make a decision by midnight tonight, basically, is what this comes down to. They had 48 hours after the signing of his offer sheet to decide. And I think that expires at midnight tonight. So if we flip into Wednesday, so we should know at any point, if we already haven't. I mean, I'll be honest, we have not checked social media or anything like that to see. When I checked it earlier, obviously nothing had happened in it. So we're still waiting to see what they're going to do with the Kings. Let me just make sure. Says that the latest is that from Sam Amick is that the Kings are still discussing about should they match it. It says that, according to what he says, the Kings are still discussing whether to match Atlanta's four-year, $72 million offer sheet for Bogdanovich, but are leaning strongly towards not matching. They have 4 hours remaining to finalize their choice, and this was right before 8 o'clock, as we said out there. So if he does come into the mix, Rondo, Chris Dunn, Danilo Gallinari, Tony Snell, they certainly have a group that when you talk about, okay, we're ready to take that next step forward and go win basketball games and try to be a playoff team, they've done that. Now, by most people's accounts, they're one of the winners of free agency. Here's what Yahoo Sports had to say about it. They said, the Hawks added Rondo, Dunn, Gallinari, Tony Snell, and have signed swingman Bogdanovich to an offer sheet. A potential starting lineup of Trae Young, Bogdanovich, Gallinari, John Collins, and Clint Capella is pretty intriguing, and the Hawks just might be the new Mavericks of the East. How about that, huh? Trey is Dallas's version of Luka, and they'll just have to hope that Gallo will be able to stay on the court more than Porzingis has been able to. The Gallo signing is slightly controversial, as the Hawks paid $61.5 million for 3 years, the most ever to a never all-star over the age of 30. So think about that. That's the largest contract to a guy over the age of 30 who's never been an all-star before. But if they get Bogdanovich as well, along with their stable of high-ceiling potential reserves, Herter, Reddish, Hunter, Okongwu, the Hawks might be ready to do something special sooner than later. It may all hinge on Gallo's ability to stay healthy, but despite his storied injury history, he only missed 10 games last season and 14 in 2018-2019. As Lloyd Christmas once famously said to Mary Swanson, so you're telling me that there's a chance. So, look, no doubt about it that the Hawks have improved, I think, quite a bit in adding enough veteran presence, you know, around him. Now, it still means, though, that the young guys that they have to continue to step up and progress and make steps forward, because you are going to have guys that are going to miss some time. You are going to have some of these guys that are going to be out. Whether it's Trae Young or whether it's, you know, Capella or whether it's Bogdanovich or whether it's going on, you're still going to have guys that are probably going to miss some time out there. So building a deeper core where I've got my veteran presence and I've got my young guys to back some of those guys up, listen, is going to be important. So it's still going to be really important for the young guys on this team to continue to grow and move forward, because they're going to get an opportunity to play a lot of minutes still. And you got to have some production out of those guys. Got to take that next step forward. Got to get production out of some of those guys. But there's no question about the fact that I think we all agree that with this lineup and with this group, that the Hawks can absolutely be a playoff team. They can absolutely find their way into a 7 or 8 seed of the NBA playoffs. If we go back in time, let's go back to, you know, not obviously this season because we had the shortened season. Well, we can use it kind of as a reference point. The Orlando Magic, as the eighth team in the Eastern Conference, were 33-40. So, not like you had to be really good to get to a playoff spot. The year before, in 2018-2019, you had to be .500 in the East. They had to be a .500 team. So you're talking about that the Hawks, you know, who were 29 wins a couple of years ago, you know, and they were going to be, you know, less than that this coming year if they played an 82-game season out there. But you're talking about the Hawks are going to have to find a way to win probably somewhere between 10 and 15 games more than what they picked up, you know, from a couple of seasons ago. Can this lineup and can this group do that? You'd like to think so. That's a pretty good chunk of wins, though, when you think about it. You know, if you're talking about having to pick up 10 or 12 wins to put yourself in that playoff mix over an 82-game season. Now, we know it's only going to be 72 games this year. We know it's going to be a little bit shorter out there. So maybe you don't need 10 or 12 wins, but maybe you still need 8 or 10 wins out of all of it. That's a lot. That's a lot for one season, you know, when you're not talking about you added LeBron or Giannis or somebody like that. When you're talking about you've added some good players, but you haven't added a franchise. It's not like you added Kawhi or somebody like that, or, you know, Kevin Durant or something like that, where you could say, okay, that guy's absolutely worth 8 or 10 wins on my schedule. You have to hope that the collective of the new guys, the continued development of your two stars in John Collins and Trae Young, and your other guys that you've drafted, you know, that Hunter and Reddish and Herter and all these guys, you know, continue to really start to move their game forward, because they're going to get plenty of playing time. So you need those guys to be able to really contribute something, you know, this year, not kind of just getting their feet wet for all of it. So can the Hawks be a playoff team? Yeah, I think so. I think that they can collectively find enough wins, you know, out of all of that group. They've got to coach better. They got to play better. Have they addressed some of their needs? Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, they needed, you know, more wing scoring. Gallinari can give them that. They certainly needed more defensive help. Chris Dunn is a really underrated player as far as how good he is as a, you know, on-ball, you know, defensive guard. Obviously, having Capella in the middle is going to help that out as well. Hopefully, Okongwu is going to do that as well when he gets some minutes to play. So, ideally, your frontline defense should be a little bit better. Your backcourt defense should be okay. If Hunter continues to grow, you've got that aspect of it. How about three-point shooting? Well, first thing you have to get is you have to make sure that Trey and Herter continue to develop. I mean, from that standpoint. It's not like that they've got guys that are going to come in, you know, that not like that they've signed Dale Ellis to come in and all of a sudden be that guy. They've got to have some of the guys that they already have on this roster that have to step forward and take that next step. Or at least continue to grow as far as three-point shooting goes. But with Gallinari in the mix, you know, they've got some guys that can score and help them with the three-point shooting. But they've got to rebound. They've got to play better. They got to start with that first. Got to start with playing much better defense, rebounding the basketball better. Capella should help that as well out there. Also, what's going to be fascinating is what do they think long-term about John Collins? I mean, are they fully committed to John Collins and what he brings to this team and this roster? I think that will be very interesting. That are they completely sold on him and ready to dump a bunch of money into him? He's going to want max money, and you know, look, is he a max player? No, I don't think he is right now. But let him have one more really good season. Let him step his game up and be an all-star and be another 20-10. Type of player, you know, then you might have that discussion. And then maybe that decision becomes a little bit easier as far as, okay, do we make him a max player or not? Maybe, you know, again, this will be that swing season to kind of tell you about, okay, do we feel like that he's a max guy in worth the money, or, you know, do we want to be cautious about how much we give him? I think it's really interesting about kind of where his future stands with this particular franchise. You want to believe and you want to say, okay, what happens if he misses another 20 or 25 games this year? No matter what the reason. Doesn't matter if it's suspensions or health or this or that. What happens if he misses another 20 or 25 games? Does that sway you even more to say, you know, I'm not sure how much money I'm willing to give him? So he's got a lot on the line. He's got a lot to prove this year himself, just as far as, okay, I need to be on the court for my team to help them get to the playoffs. I need to continue to produce and continue to grow. And if I want to make myself into that max money type of player, or if I want to, you know, take that next step forward, can he be an all-star? Can he be a guy that makes an all-star team? Can he be a guy that stays on the court? Those are questions that he's going to have to answer. But I like the roster. I think, you know, Bogdanović would be a really nice additional piece. We'll know here probably very shortly. I'm guessing before we get off the air. I'm guessing that if I had to, that they won't wait until 11:59 to make the decision on this. I'm sure that we will have something here probably throughout the show. So we'll keep updated on it, and we'll take a look and see what happens on it. But that would be, you know, that would certainly be a big swing piece if they could land that. If not, then they still got money to spend. That they got money that they can go out and try to find some more scoring help and hopefully some more defensive help as well for this team. All right, when we get back, earlier this morning, the Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Sarah Spencer, joined our morning show. We'll get her thoughts on what she had to say and what she thinks of the Hawks' moves thus far. We'll let you hear that next coming up. It is the John Chuckler Show. Hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening, Sports Radio 99 The Game, and on your radio.com app.
What's happening, Atlanta?
Check it out.
Hey, man, Mike Bell here from Dukes and Bell. And catch our take on the headlines every weekday at about 2:20. Get a fresh perspective on what's going on in the world right here on Dukes and Bell on 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back at it on the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out on this Tuesday evening, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Radio.com app is how you catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game, and you can hit me up at JMCH316. We will hear from Sarah Spencer, who is the beat writer for the Atlanta Hawks for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. She joined our morning show earlier today as we just talked about the Hawks and all of their moves. We're still waiting on to see if Bogdanovich, if the Kings decide to match the offer sheet. Reports are that they will not, but they have until midnight tonight to be able to decide if they will. My guess is they're probably looking to see if they can shop him. That, okay, if we pick this up, can we ship him somewhere or what have you? Maybe even to the Hawks. I mean, they may be even talking about a sign and trade, you know, with the Hawks or what have you. So I don't know. I mean, that's I'm sure that that's what that really is more than anything. My guess is it's not so much whether they should, you know, sign it and keep him and all that. It's okay, if we sign him, who's willing to take him from there? So I'm sure that that's where that is going at right now. If you missed it too, by the way, earlier, the first college football playoff poll was revealed. No real shock. Alabama at number one, Notre Dame at number two, Clemson at number three, and Ohio State it comes in at number four. And I think Ohio State's really number four more than anything just because of the amount of games that they've played. They've played half the number of games as everybody else thus far. They've only played four games. So I'm not surprised that they're number four. It's not an indictment about how good or whatever that they are. I just think that when you look at the body of work for right now, I think you just say, okay, we're going to I think part of it should be rewarding teams, especially when you got teams that have played twice as many games, that have twice as long of a schedule so far as what Ohio State has. So I think you have to give them a little bit of a credit for all of that. So so no real surprise as to all of that. We'll kind of take a look at the whole poll as we get into our college football roundup. Don't forget, we still got What's Bugging Chuckery Falcon flyover coming up at the top of the hour. But earlier today on our morning show, of course, with John and Hugh from 6 to 10 a.m., the guys had a chance to talk with the beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution covering the Atlanta Hawks. Sarah K. Spencer joined them. And Hugh started off by asking Sarah if she was surprised at all of these moves that the Hawks have made.
You know, not completely, because, you know, it's been months ago, even during last season, last March. I think the Hawks were 19-44 at the time when Lloyd Pierce said, you know, next year we're going to be a playoff team. And I was certainly surprised to hear that at that time, just because they were struggling so much. But then when you started to think about the cap space that they had, you know, most in the league, a little bit north of $44 million. And you know, I don't think it would have made much sense for them to sit on that. So they just decided to go for it. And, now they're kind of, you know, setting expectations high for this season.
Sarah, a little house cleaning if you can. Am I correct in reading that the Kings have till 1 o'clock Eastern to match Bogdanovich? Is that your understanding?
Yes, I believe so. 10 a.m. out there and then 1 p.m. here. Yes, I believe that is correct.
All right, so a little over 4.5 hours from now. They haven't done it yet. It seems to me if you're going to match an offer sheet, you know, especially like that for a player that's important, you know, Hawks signed with the offer sheet on Sunday, that's a no-brainer. On Monday morning, you say, yeah, we're matching it. That they haven't done it to this point on Tuesday morning, does that say that they may not be?
Well, not exactly, because a lot of times teams do take the full period. Not because they're not exactly sure what they want, but because they're testing the waters for a couple other moves just to see, kind of gauge their return on investment. So it's not necessarily a sign. I do think there is a good chance the Hawks get Bogdanovich just because the Kings roster is getting so expensive. You know, they just maxed out De'Aaron Fox. They've still got Buddy Hield on the roster. And then also they've got Tyrese Halliburton, who they're going to have to pay as well. So, you know, there's a chance that they might say, you know, it's getting so expensive, we're going to let him go. But then on the other hand, maybe they don't want to lose him for nothing, which would make sense as well. So although I think there's a good chance the Hawks get Bogdanovich, and I think that would really round out this roster in a in a very strong way because it adds even more shooting, something they desperately needed. There's certainly a chance that they want to keep him as well.
You know what? This is the fun thing that we've been doing because we've all been speculating on what this lineup is going to look like. I mean, so we're going to ask you, who do you think goes to the bench when you look at this potentially new lineup?
Oh, gosh.
sorry to put you on the spot, but we've been doing it all week.
No, that's no problem. It's so funny. I've been getting this question so many times on Twitter, and the response I keep giving people is, can I please give you an offense-first lineup and a defense-first lineup? Because they had just so much – they had so many depth problems last year. I remember last November, they already kind of had depth problems, and then John Collins got suspended and Kevin Huerter got hurt, and it was like, oh, my gosh, who are they going to play? They have the opposite of this problem this year, and I know some people are concerned, what's that going to mean for, you know, my favorite young Hawks player, you know, of the young core, whether that's Cam Reddish, Kevin Huerter, DeAndre Hunter. And I think the reality is those guys are going to have to fight for minutes a little bit more. That's what you have to do on good teams, on potential playoff teams. But that's not a bad thing. Those guys still develop because they're playing such meaningful minutes and the team is overall playing at a higher level. I could see if the Hawks wanted to go defense first or something, I could see Chris Dunn and Cam Reddish rolling out there together. If they wanted to go, you know, offense first, I could see them. Potentially, Gallinari normally only plays the four. I could see him flashing to the three. So right now it's kind of musical chairs. And then if you add Bogdanović to the mix, my goodness, you know, how are you going to pick? And I think this is just so – it's going to be so interesting for Lloyd Pierce because this is the opposite problem of what he's had the past couple of years. That roster just has not been beat. And now it's like I get to pick and choose based off the way we're going, as opposed to just having to find bodies to play.
Sarah Spencer covers the Hawks for the AJC. She joins us this morning on the WaveForward.com hotline. 1 o'clock Eastern, the deadline for the Kings to match or not match Bogdanović, and hopefully they don't, because I'd love to see him on the Atlanta Hawks. And if you believe in starters, then technically I guess the Hawks might have as many as, you know, three new starters. You'd have a starting lineup that might be something along the lines of Trae Young, Clint Capella, John Collins, Gallo, and Bogdanović. But then again, starting lineups, as you just said, are kind of a malleable thing, Sarah. You could have an offensive lineup. You could come in strong defense and put in the youngster Okongwu, I'm sure he wants to ask you about in a moment, and Rondo and Dunn, and you could go defense. You can go big with, three 6'10 guys across the front line. You can go small and go to shooters and bring Cam in and do stuff. It will allow Lloyd Pierce to be able to play matchup basketball the way he hasn't been able to play matchup basketball maybe ever.
That's exactly right. It's going to give the Hawks so much flexibility, whereas before, really the past 2 years, but especially last year, which is the first year I covered the team, he had none. And, you know, the Hawks, they had three big problems that they needed to address coming into this season. They needed to get some more passing on the team. So when Trae Young goes to the bench, which is not often, he plays almost 36 minutes a game. Maybe he won't have to as much this season. They needed to get more passing on the team, get a secondary playmaker so that when Trae Young goes to the bench, they can still thrive as an offense. They needed to add more shooting. They were the worst three-point shooting in the team in the league last year at 33.3%. And they needed to improve the defense. They had the third worst defensive rating at 114.4. So those were three things they absolutely had to address. That's just not going to cut it in the NBA if you want to win. And they addressed those things in one way or another. You know, we'll still have to see flexibility. We'll still have to see chemistry. We'll still have to see how this group meshes. But as far as needs, they met them.
As far as Onyeka Okongwu, as far as John Collins, that's what I want to talk about. What do you think it means for the future of John Collins with all these new additions?
You know, right. I've been told by both sides that both sides are still negotiating and have had some good conversations about how to get a deal done with John Collins still. So I have still been told that is the case, that they're still working through it. I mean, they love John. They're high on John. I'm not sure. This is just me talking. I'm not sure they'll be able to give him exactly what he wants. You know, he's talked about how he thinks he should be in the conversation for a max deal. I'm not sure the Hawks are going to be able to realistically do that. But he's also said, you know, it's business. Sometimes you don't get exactly what you want. So if there's some flexibility there, maybe they get something done. My gut tells me that, you know, they don't have to get anything done right now. They can let him enter the final year of his contract and just kind of see how it goes. And then, you know, you extend the qualifying offer. He could become a restricted free agent. So they don't have to get anything done right now. You know, whether they look to use him as a trade piece or, you know, look to keep him around another year, or maybe, you know, maybe they want to see how it goes. But I've been told that both sides are still kind of trying to work through it and mm-hmm. still trying to figure something out to keep John in Atlanta.
You know what, Sarah, I was a little curious because, you know, as the holidays are upon us, I was just wondering, are you a green bean casserole kind of person like John Fricke?
So I am not a casserole person. I am not just green bean. I just can't do it. I'm just like, leave the green beans alone. They were fine before. So I like plain old green beans, but if you put it in a casserole, I won't eat it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a green bean fan too. I'm a fan of green beans, but when I hear casserole, I just feel like that's being a little bit too busy. That's a little busy.
Right yeah. There. Yeah. You got a little cute. You did a little too much.
You know, I'd like to play, you know, matchup starting lineups on my Thanksgiving meal. So, I mean, for me, this is the matchup. Okay. Doesn't match up well with you, but it matches up well with me, okay? I just said. I do want to just so again, 4.5 hours away from Bogdanović. Let's just hope that that happens. And I didn't mean to jump the gun on Okongwu here, but I did want to get that question. What is the expectation for Okongwu, for Big O?
So they're really, really high on this kid, and it makes sense. When you watch him play, it really makes sense. Mm-hmm. From the get-go, I do think he is going to be a good defender. A lot of times that's one of the later things for rookies to develop. You know, normally they can come in and maybe shoot, but they don't really have their heads on straight defensively. So we'll see, but he projects to be a very good defender. He projects to be a very good rebounder. He's very good in the paint, you know, cutting, rolling to the rim running, which when you pair that with Trae Young, I mean, you can't, you know, that skill set is going to bode very well for this team. But I think one thing that's really interesting is that they think that, and he thinks as well, that he can become a good shooter. He didn't really shoot many jump shots at all, many threes, hardly at all at USC. He did a little bit more in high school, but obviously that's been a while ago and the NBA is quite different. So, you know, he's going to have to practice it and he's going to have to come along slowly. But they really think that offensively, the kind of term I've heard so many times is, he's just scratching the surface. So they really think with time, this kid has such offensive upside that he's going to be able to stretch the floor, which right now on paper, I would not have thought that on paper. But when they said that, you know, that's something he's going to have to work on. I think he has the talent to do it. It's just a matter of, you know, developing your game and getting up, you know, 100 jump shots a day against NBA players and kind of acclimating. So they think he's got a ton of potential. I think he's going to be able to help them, you know, as soon as the next season when it comes to defense, rebounding, rim running, that kind of thing. And then as time goes on, they really do think that he'll be able to stretch the floor.
Well, Sarah, it's going to be fascinating to watch. And we'll keep our eyes open for the news today. And hopefully we get good news at 1 o'clock. And the Atlanta Hawks, I know Hugh is doing – Hugh, God love him. Hugh Douglas does his best to keep me in check, Sarah, because, you know
– John got him in the top five as far as playoff teams concerned right now. Yeah. As we speak.
Holy cow.
have not lined up and did not one gasser, not one warm-up, but John already got him in the top five.
I'm ready to go. Let's bring it on. Let's go. I mean, that's kind of how I feel. Sarah, I do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
All right, coming up next, it will be time for What's Buggin' Chukri. We will get to all of that. This is the John Chukri Show with you here live. Sports Radio Nights on the Game and on the radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here on a Tuesday evening, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Hard to believe it's Thanksgiving in a couple of days, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's been such a weird year. All these holidays just kind of sneak up and all these different things. It just seems like we're so focused on so many other different things that it just doesn't seem like it's about to be Thanksgiving on Thursday. So hope everybody has a great holiday out there. We get wrapped up tonight. I will be back with you on Friday evening. Jarvis is off all week, so we got Dylan hanging out with us here this evening. 404-741-0929, Solomon Bros. I mean, text line, radio.com app is how you catch us on the go. Social media, 929 The Game. Hit me up at JMCH316. So, still no word as of yet as to what the Kings are going to do as far as the Bogdanovich contract offer sheet that the player had signed with the Atlanta Hawks. So just waiting to see. They still got time. They've got till midnight tonight to decide if they're going to match the offer, if they're just going to let the Hawks sign him. And my guess is that they are trying to see if they can work out a deal with it. So looking to see, okay, if we sign him, can we work out a sign and trade, whether it's with the Hawks, whether it's with somebody else. There's even reports I was reading about this that it's maybe not even necessarily that he wants to play for the Atlanta Bogdanovich, play for the Atlanta Hawks, as much as he wants to try to get to another team or something, or get them to trade him to another team, and then he'll work with them on what team he wants to go to. So I don't know. You never know what these negotiations and things like that. You hear all kinds of crazy stuff and things like that. It would be so Atlanta Hawks if the Kings match the offer and then trade him to somebody else, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that kind of be like the ultimate Atlanta Hawks thing? And look, it's not like Bogdanovich is – this isn't Giannis or anything like that. Somebody was asking me on the text line as well about why the Hawks haven't made a play for Anthony Davis. It's because he's going to stay in L.A. The real – depending on how you want to believe, conspiracy theory, or if you want to believe that this is what they're looking at, the idea, what you're hearing out of L.A. and with all this is – really a matter of how long of a contract Anthony Davis is going to sign. Because what supposedly they want, according to the rumor and innuendo of the basketball, you know, pundits and all that, that kind of stuff, is that the LeBron and AD want to see if Giannis is going to sign his Supermax deal with Milwaukee. If he doesn't sign the Supermax deal, the talk is that AD will do like a one-and-one, you know what that is, like a 1 year and then an opt-out, you know, after a year with an opt-back in. Just, you know, the way that these guys sign these contracts now of, hey, you know, we'll play a year or two, then we opt out, you know, then we can re-sign another deal. With the idea of he and LeBron doing that, with the idea of bringing Giannis to L.A. Now, how ridiculous would that be if the Lakers had Giannis, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James? Who wouldn't go play? Look, they'd have the same kind of bench that Miami had when they were winning those title, you know, winning the title with LeBron and those guys, where they had Juwan Howard on the bench, who was about 8 years past his functioning as a legitimate NBA basketball player, but he was willing to take a roster spot for like $8 and be a part of all of it. That's what it would look like. They'd have like Juwan Howard and guys like that on their bench. But how ridiculous. I'm laughing even thinking about it. But that's the reports out there in LA. That's what they say is that, and look, that's what the league is. I mean, we think it sounds kind of crazy and I'm laughing, but it's what the league is, right? The league is all about these guys getting together and they're dictating where they're going, who's going where. Cowie wanted Paul George. All right, come on out. We're going to give up a whole bunch of stuff for it. Now we don't have any assets to go get anybody, but we got Paul George, right? And that's what these guys do, is they go out there and team up and say, okay, let's call up. Can you imagine, like, AD and LeBron calling up Giannis? Hey, come play in L.A. with us. I mean, would that not be absurd with those three guys on the court? And you'd find a couple of guys that are star-level players that would come in for, like, a mid-level exemption, you know what I mean, the mid-level deal and all that kind of stuff. You'd find some guys that would come in just for the sake of saying, okay, well, let's go win a title. Let me go get my ring, and let me go win an NBA title with these guys. I I'm laughing about it because it's absurd. It's absurd to think about LeBron, AD, and Giannis. But AD is – this whole thing has never been about AD leaving the L.A. Lakers. This is all about him negotiating the right deal that he wants depending on what the Lakers, you know, want to do. Like I said, if they thought that they could legitimately get Giannis, then he and LeBron will take those, you know, one-in, one-out deals to open up the cap and say, okay – now let's get everybody organized together and look, Jeannie Buss in a second would do all of this, right? I mean, she wouldn't hesitate for 1 second to do whatever it took. And if that meant they went into luxury tax and all that, who cares? You're going to be the overwhelming favorite to win the NBA title if you add the league's MVP to your roster, right? Nothing is going to keep them from trying to steamroll through the West. So that's what the deal is. Anthony Davis he's not going anywhere. It's just a matter of the Lakers knew he was going to opt out. Everybody knew he wasn't going to sign. It's all part of the politics of it. That's the thing, is that everybody already knows what everybody's going to do when it comes to the players and everything else. Players got all this figured out. They already know what their next two or three moves are. They've got everything figured out, and they know exactly what they want to do with all of it. You know, it's just a matter of when and how they announce it to the GMs. About, like, the GMs aren't making the moves in the NBA. The players are letting the GMs know where they're going and what they're doing and all that good stuff. So it is truly a players' league in the NBA. All right, speaking of which, let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So I had to kind of laugh at this. You know, Jeopardy's obviously been in the news a lot with Alex Trebek dying, and I guess this Ken Jennings that won the most money ever on Jeopardy is going to kind of fill in as part-time host. But there's an article in the Toronto Star newspaper with the title, Why Can't Jeopardy Contestants Solve Sports Clues? Now, this has been kind of an ongoing gag, isn't it? That you get some of these people that they get up there and all of a sudden one of the categories deals with football or baseball or sports in general, and they just completely fall flat on their face. And so they went through in the Toronto Star, and they were interviewing contestants on the show over the years about why sports has been so difficult with it. And by the way, Alex Trebek, you know, he was a sports fan. I mean, he was actually a very much a sports guy. But they talked to one guy. What's this guy's name? His last name is Earnshaw. Justin Earnshaw says that he really focused his show prep on science and math topics and not so much sports. And when he was on the show, there was a talking football as one of the categories. And he says he completely screwed up all of them and it did not go well. And I guess there's a clip of him not doing so well in the sports. And he says, quote, my mom, who was in the audience for the taping, is obsessed with American football. As soon as I stepped off the stage, she gave me a little bit of hell in the most loving way. Now, some of these people say kind of dumb things about, you know, about all of this stuff. I want to read the one quote because they were talking about how, you know, read the sports page and the front page and stuff like that to get. Oh, here we go. Sabrina Merchant, who's a full-time sports writer in L.A., appeared on Jeopardy. She says, quote, "I rarely get the sports categories wrong when I'm watching, but if you don't follow sports, there's a huge gap. If you're at school, you'll pick up on Shakespeare, but it's not like you're going to learn about LeBron James in school." Now, I thought to myself, now hold on, this is ridiculous, okay? Are they teaching classes about LeBron James? No, of course not. But are they teaching classes about Madonna or Ariana Grande or the Kardashians? Or is it one of those things that everybody kind of knows and watches and understands, right? I mean, they had some examples on there where people didn't know who Tiger Woods is. How could you not know who Tiger Woods is? I don't care how much Shakespeare you know. How could you not live in American society and know that Tiger Woods is a massively successful professional golfer? Like, literally, how could you function in American society and not understand that? Like, you don't have to be very well read or learned or observant to see pop culture, sports, music, all around you, right? I mean, it's everywhere. Commercials and on your regular program. I mean, if you want to sit down and watch regular television on a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday afternoon, what are you going to run into? Baseball, football, basketball. Like, you can't avoid it. And if you're any sort of, look, LeBron James and Tiger Woods have transcended sports. So I just had to laugh in reading this article about some of the excuses that people came up with. Well, they teach Shakespeare in school, but they don't really teach LeBron James in school. Of course they don't teach LeBron James in school. You got even Stevie Wonder sees and knows who LeBron James is, for God's sakes. Even he can see who he is. It's not hard. You don't have to be real learned. You don't have to have graduated from MIT. You don't have to have a sociology degree to know who Tiger Woods is. And some of these people weren't even sure on some of those people I just mentioned. So it's a funny article. You can read about what people had to say. It's in the Toronto Star. But good Lord, folks. I mean, come on now. You know, but I will say that's the best thing on Jeopardy is when watching these eggheads try to figure out sports questions and looking at Alex Trebek like he had three heads on his shoulder. And that's what's bugging Chuck. All right, we get back from the top of the hour. It'll be time for our Falcons flyover. We will hear from the OC. We didn't get a chance to hear from him yesterday, so we will hear what he had to say yesterday. I'm sure this will be as insightful as what Raheem Morris had to say as well. It's all next. Chuck Michelle hanging out with you on Sports Radio Next in the Game and on the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.